And welcome to the Valley Talk program for this Monday, June 5th. You're in tune to the voice of the Valley, KROX in Crookston, Minnesota on AM 1260 and 105.7 FM, as well as on 92.1 FM in Grand Forks and East Grand Forks. Well, today I'm joined by two members of the Polk County Historical Society. I have Steve Hanna with me and Jerry Wenzel. Gentlemen, how are you doing today?
Quite well.
Very good, thank you.
That's good to hear. And well, this is the time of year when the museum, the Polk County Museum, is open up, and we're looking forward to another good summer season. And well, I think that you guys had a lot of different topics you wanted to discuss. And well, I'll leave it open to the floor. What did you like to start off with?
Well, I'd like to say that as of last Tuesday, we are open for the season. We should be there just about every day except Mondays. We're always closed on Mondays. We're open from 12 to 4. We should have a volunteer sitting at the front desk to greet you as you come in. Perhaps over the 4th of July weekend and Labor Day, there might not be so many people around because we are volunteers and sometimes we just like to take off.
Understandable.
Yeah. And then if we're not there, we put a sign up in the door and people often just stop back at a later time. But it's interesting to sit there at the desk when people come in. I had some really interesting people come in the last 2 days I sat at the desk. Some of them have relatives from here. Some were born here. It's always fun when people come back during the school reunions, because mm-hmm. then we happen to get classmates coming in and a lot of reminiscing goes on. So some days are busy, others not so much. As far as plans at the museum for this year, well, this last winter we didn't get quite as much done inside as we'd like, because some of us just get stormed in the winter and it's hard to get to town.
It was a rough winter. Yeah, that's understandable.
And some days you just don't feel like going in when it's, you know, a 30 below wind chill and so forth. But we are working yet on a few rooms that didn't get done during the COVID break. We have what's called the tech room. That'll be old computers, old office equipment. I don't know. What else is in there, Steve?
Stuff I don't even know what it is. It's going to take some research just to find out, what did this thing do? I think there's like some old ham radio equipment in
okay.
there. Things I'm going to have to look up. I'm kind of the technology geek around there. So.
Yeah, and he's very good at it.
All right.
We're quite dependent on him for a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have our Native American exhibit that has not been completed yet. That was rearranged several years ago. But again, we're working on those. We've had a little problem with our log house. It was moved in to the museum in 1976. And since then, the foundation has cracked.
Oh.
So it's sinking.
Mm-hmm.
This is not good. And the chinking is falling out. And the roof is starting to get holes in it. So this summer, we hope to get a new concrete slab poured for that log house and get moving on that restoration.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, because that's the thing, it's not just inside the building. Obviously, you have those other structures outside, and there's it is a bigger a lot than, you know, I always drive by, and I think that's the museum, just the building, but I forget. There's all those other different parts of it and a lot of different things to explore out there.
Mm-hmm. I think we've got, 7 acres? The whole museum ground, somewhere around there, and there's 11 buildings and 3 large, pole shed type buildings full of, one is farm equipment, one is the Centennial Building, which is a hodgepodge of everything, but there's a lot of exhibits in there. And then the third one is the Millennium, which is actually fire trucks and fire apparatus. And that one there with the Crookston Fire Department has kept it maintained, even though the fire trucks have come from all over the county. So.
Cool. Okay. So, yeah, obviously that's the thing. There's a lot to it. You can spend a long time in that building, the main building alone, looking through. I know my fiance and I think it was last summer we stopped in. I hadn't been there since I was a kid, and she had never been. And, I mean, it took a long time for us to go through everything. There's a lot of different little sections of the main building. And we didn't even get to the outside thinking about it. So I think it was a little hot. We're like, oh, let's just stay inside. But yeah, there's you can spend a full day, probably a couple days, honestly, if you really look through everything. But so obviously a lot of stuff to work on. And you mentioned the log cabins, one of the main projects you're hoping to get on this summer. Any other big things that either have gotten done or are working on?
Well, like so many people, this year we had trouble with roof leakage the winter went on. So we will be looking at some repair or possibly replacement of the top part of the roof on the main building. Those old buildings we talk about, well, the bane of many a small town museum is that old wood siding. It seems like every 3-4 years, they're starting to look pretty tough and you got to paint them.
We have the, what's called the old country kitchen, and it was, I'm not sure where that came from, but it was just a small building that was used for a kitchen with a little sleeping quarter upstairs and probably out on a bonanza farm.
That actually came from down here in the addition right west of downtown here.
Sampson addition?
It wasn't Sampson's, it's the other one. They called it the Flats years
ago. Okay.
It was down in there. It was a summer kitchen for a family down there. Yeah.
But that one there, the siding is in rough shape, and we're going to try and paint it one more time, but you get to a point where the paint just won't stay on.
Yeah, there's so much you can do, right?
Yeah, and our schoolhouse could use paint, especially the backside where it's hidden, and we also have the old home that's right in front of the log cabin there, and that one's still in pretty good shape, but they all need paint. So if anybody likes to come and scrape paint and sand siding and prime and everything like that, we're always looking for volunteers.
Hey, it's some volunteer hours there, I guess, if you're looking for that. And like I said, it's a great thing to do because obviously, as you said, they're all volunteers. Is there anybody that's actually, paid on your board? Or
no. Yep. No, 100% volunteer. And, of course, we have to pay contractors that work. But as far as staffing the museum and all the maintenance that goes on, it's our board mainly, but we have other volunteers that come in. And we get nice breaks from local businesses when it comes to, some small supplies we need or something like that. They always support us very well that way. So
well, that's good, because obviously, having a small town museum is something that not a lot of small towns have anymore, because a lot of them have been, either people just haven't been able to keep them going, or just the lack of people willing to volunteer. And so it's always good to know that at least our community has really taken a good strong lead in preserving our museum.
Exactly. Yes, and it's not just Polk County, but so many counties, some are funded very well because there's a large business or a large donor there. Others, we have had very nice donations, but we're funded roughly 1/3 probably by the county, and the other 2/3 has to come from memberships and donations and interest on investments and, a lot of different sources. And some of the money that we have is earmarked for certain projects, and others just it's the daily or the monthly routine of paying for postage and utilities and all those things that don't necessarily make a big impact on, oh, the building looks so much better now. It's just like it costs money to operate any kind of an organization, and we're pretty frugal, I would say. I think we got a lot of cheapskates on the board. Well, but we're reasonable because we've only got limited funds.
Exactly.
So we always accept donations, if I can plug that here.
Of course, yeah. No, that's what's a way you could donate? I mean, if was it just in person, through the mail, online, or how's that?
And anyway, we do have an online thing on the Facebook site for GiveMN, but just send a check to the Historical Society, Post Office Box 214, Crookston, or stop by sometime. And our board meetings are first Thursday of every month. If you want to stop in and visit, they're open to the public.
Okay.
And if you're just going through visiting, we got an old mailbox there. Just stuff a couple dollar bills or a 10 or a 20 in there. We'll take that too.
There you go.
Any way you want, plus memberships. And individual membership, 15, and a family, 25, and then what we call a patron is 50, and business is 100, and we've actually had really good membership participation this year. They're coming in about this time of year, it seems like.
Cool. So is that a monthly or a yearly membership?
Yearly membership.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So just $15 a year, and you can, then that goes to the the Polk County Museum is, and that can really help. So
yeah, 100 people at $15 mm-hmm. a year is $1,500. That goes a long ways nowadays. Well, not nowadays, but it used to.
Yeah, well, still, it can really help a lot of different projects and a lot of different, again, just even just your daily maintenance is really essential to keep that going. And if you're just joining us here on the Valley Talk program, I'm joined with two Polk County Historical Society members, Steve Hanna and Jerry Wenzel, and we're just talking about how the Polk County Museum is open for the season officially last week, and you know, there's a lot going on there, and obviously a lot of different things to look at, but a lot of improvements being made or looking to be made over the summer. And you know, do you have anything kind of coming up here you'd like to also discuss, or is it just kind of the, you know, your basic things for the time being?
Now in June, mm-hmm. I believe it is, we are going to have a deaccession sale.
Oh, okay.
Over the years, like many museums, we get more stuff than we can properly display or care for.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we're grateful for all donations. That's not the point, but it gets to the point where it gets redundant.
Yeah.
So we are going to have a sale. I don't know quite how the committee who's in charge of that is going to run it yet. That should be, I believe, the 10th and 11th of June.
Is that the dates? Yeah, I don't recall specifically, but
so sometime here in the mm-hmm. next couple of weeks, there will be a sale there. And you said that's just stuff that we're, again, it's just kind of overloaded, and it's just not getting the proper, you know, displaying, as you said. So, or else you might have a couple of, you might maybe duplicates possibly or something mm-hmm. along those lines. Or
what one man has as a treasure, you know, the story goes,
yep.
it might, you know, not mm-hmm. interest other people, but there's probably something there for everybody.
I would think so. I mean, there's such a wide variety in that. In the museum, that's something I really noticed, and I do remember as a kid, I was like, wow, there really is so many different parts of history and different eras and different just parts of life as well. As I know a lot of different either, you know, your doctor, little office, dental office, you know, you have your mm-hmm. phone stuff. I mean, it is really just anything you can think of. You guys seem to have something from that part of life in a certain era.
We'll have a quilt show in July.
Okay.
I had one several years ago. That was very popular.
Yeah.
Pioneer Day is coming up.
September. The weekend after Labor Day.
Yeah, weekend mm-hmm. after. Okay.
Yeah, that's like your closing, right?
Right.
Your big closing. That's always a big event. That's
the
a
weather
one.
Usually cooperates quite well.
Yep. Yes, beautiful days.
We have three groups of musicians coming in this year. We got a grant to have them come in from the Northwest Minnesota Arts Council. One thing we do have here, too, in Polk County is we're not the only museum in Polk County. We have the East Grand Forks Heritage Center. We've got the Sandhill Settlement Historical Society in Climax. Ooh. And then there's the East Polk Heritage Center. We cooperate. We try to help each other out. And that can come in mighty handy sometimes.
I bet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good to hear.
Also, our Pioneer Day we hold on the same day as the Sugar Butte Museum out
of
there.
Of course,
there.
Yeah.
So we're a quarter mile apart. Then we have the bus comes over and runs back and forth, and it's a kind of a volunteer thing for them, except that we pay the driver. So it's actually had really good ridership. You can park at one place and visit both things. Every half hour, the bus goes back and forth. So
yeah, that's very convenient, especially if you haven't checked out one or the other, or you just want to see what's new in both of them. And it's always a great opportunity and a lot of different activities going on that day. It's not mm-hmm. just the museums itself. There's a lot going on.
Right.
Those
it's a fun
days.
Day.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. So yeah, well, I mean, we're getting close to the wrapping up point. If you guys like, I don't know how much more, if there's anything more you'd like to discuss or just touch on, and because we have still about 5 minutes at the most, if you'd like to go on. I mean, it's I know there's a lot going on there, but we've covered a good chunk of things. If there's anything, just either just any other big topics, or else just go over the hours of operation, the phone number maybe to contact you guys.
Yep. Go ahead, Jerry.
Well, I'd like to thank our board. Mm-hmm. We have a great board right now. There's a lot of talent on it. Our youngest board member now is out with his dad almost every day, mm-hmm. and they're working on gas engines and the tractors, and they recently got a Model T running.
Really?
So we hats off to them. I know I'm going to leave somebody out, but we do have three other volunteers who are not on the board who I'd like to mention, and this is Ann Muir, mm-hmm. Bob Anderson, and Carol Solheim. They do a lot for us, and we really appreciate their efforts.
Well, that is great. I'm glad to have three, and then plus multiple volunteers and board members again to really, again, everyone's volunteering in this situation, and they're just doing their part to make sure, again, that history is preserved and that it is a part of our community, and it's a really, really important thing. So it's very, very great to hear that this is having a good staff around, a good group to keep things going well. So,
and we'd also like to encourage other people to volunteer, especially with this noon to four staffing. If somebody wants to take a certain day of the week and say, hey, I'll run the meeting, boy, that would help a lot, because mm-hmm. we're a couple of other volunteers and board members who put in a lot of time anyway are the ones that end up staffing the museum. So it's an easy and pleasant job. It's nice and cool in there, and you get to meet some interesting people. You know, I've staffed it quite a few times too, and it's always fun to see somebody from long out of town, like a couple stopped in last summer from Pennsylvania in a big luxury motorhome, mm-hmm. and they said their trip across the U.S. they're stopping at every small town museum they can find.
Really?
And they said they're camping out if the place isn't open so they can see it. And they came in and they said they were very impressed with our museum. They spent the whole afternoon there, about the 4 hours. So.
Wow.
So it was nice to get compliments like that.
Oh, for sure. And as you said, too, I mean, one, it is air conditioned. That is a big selling point in the summer. But also, too, it's just a great opportunity to meet new people and really, again, kind of be a little prideful, show off our community and our history in our area, especially to those who are from different parts of the country. So that is just awesome. So, again, yeah, plenty of opportunities to volunteer with the Polk County Historical Society. Is there a way to contact? Should they just stop by, or is there a number they can call if they have any questions? Or
do you have the phone number on your list there? I can't think of it.
281-1038, I think. Yes. That's it.
And there is an answering machine because... Mm-hmm. We don't, and sometimes volunteers don't even answer it, or they'll take a message mm-hmm. or something, but we'll try to get back to you, or stop in, or like I said, first Thursday of the month is our board meeting. Come on down and visit with us.
And what time is that at, usually?
5 o'clock, or 5:30, actually.
Perfect. Yeah. Okay, yeah, so stop by if you have any questions, or if you want to volunteer, or maybe you want to become a member, donate, whatever it may be. That's a great opportunity to get a little a foot in the door in that sense, so awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome stuff. Well, I think that'll about do it for our today's Value Talk program. Thank you both for coming in and talking about the Polk County Museum and the Historical Society in general. It's really, again, a topic that I really appreciate. I was always a big history buff in high school, and I love the museum. So it's always great to see that, and we'll have you guys on maybe closer to some of these other events, and always welcome to come on the Value Talk program. So thank you.
Thank you, KROX.
All right, awesome. Thank you. Okay, well, once again, that was Steve Hanna and Jerry Wenzel from the Polk County Historical Society joining us on this Value Talk program for today. Looking ahead, I know we have something scheduled for tomorrow for Valley Talk, although it's not on our list right now. Actually, no, not tomorrow. Pardon me. It's because tomorrow we have some baseball games. So we're going to have a little bit of a flex schedule in a sense. Tomorrow on Wednesday, we'll have a program for you for sure. And then on Thursday, Angie Peltier from the U of M Extension Regional Educator will be joining us once again, as that's kind of a more normal guest or scheduled guest, I should say. So still plenty of great spots open in for this month. If you'd like to get on the Valley Talk program, you can always give us a call at 218-281-1140 or email krox@rrv.net.